For all the beautiful and tender images and the spirit of Christmas that we see this time of year, the lights, the music, the mother and child scenes. It's interesting to note that we find none of that in church in the Advent time. But rather, we see quite the opposite. This season of Advent is not for the faint of heart. And without sounding like a Grinch, Christmas isn't either. The season of Advent is preparing us for the most remarkable event of the world. The reality of Christmas, of God with us. And that very fact ought to disturb us. Yes, Christmas is disturbing. And we would do well to think of that. There is only one religion on earth, of all of the human history, there is only one religion that professes that God actually became man. That God took on flesh. That God became one of us. Every other religion has some sort of a relationship with a God. It might be very near. It might be far away. But Christianity professes something that quite literally turns the heavens and the earth upside down. That Almighty God would become man. The early fathers of the church called Christmas a scandal. That God could be cold. That he knows what it's like to have bones. That God knows what it's like to bleed, or to feel hurt. Yes, there's something disturbing about Christmas. And while we do a good job at sugarcoating Christmas, if we were to read the scriptures as we do in Advent that prepare for Christmas, we would see the rough detail in full glory. Last week it was Noah who was building the ark. This week it's John the Baptist and this challenging cry. John is no temple dweller. He's no pietistic guy. He's out in the desert. He's somewhat of a wild man. He's calling repentance, speaking of fire and the threshing floor. And yet, his word invites people. Matthew tells us today something incredible. But if we take Matthew at his word, he tells us that all of Jerusalem, all of Judea, and even across the Jordan came out to the desert to hear John. I think that's a lot of people, I would suspect. And there was something about this challenging word. There was something provocative enough that it would call people out of their homes, out of the city, make a journey out of themselves into this desert area to hear this locust-eating, camel-haired man. And of course, his word was provocative. That the Lord is coming. And in fact, he's well on his way. If John prepared the world for the fact that God becomes one of us. And he did. The message of John invites us to think how we can now become like God. And that's an awesome reality. To think that God becomes one of us opens up a hope, a challenge, an invitation that you and I can be like God. And that's the message. I once saw a Facebook cartoon, a meme, and it was a picture of all these soft pretzels. They were all twisted, and they all had sad faces on them. And they were outside a chiropractor's office. And coming out of the door of the chiropractor was a pretzel rod, standing nice and tall. And I don't remember if these pretzels had ears, but the pretzel rod had a big smile, ear to ear. So straight and tall. And I wonder to myself if that might not be the message of Advent. That you and I can become untwisted. That the roads and the valleys that are twisted, that John says make straight and filled in, if they might not be us. And the great invitation of this season, indeed, the great possibility that Christmas provides, is that you and I can be straightened out. We can become like God. And my friends, that is the call. That is the message of Christmas. And you and I are privileged to hear it. One of the themes of this second week of Advent is peace. And the most peaceful people in the world are those who are at one with God, at one with themselves, at one with their neighbor. They're the most peaceful people. Sometimes those people live in war zones. Sometimes those people live in broken families, but they are people who know that oneness with God, with self, with others. And you and I are called to be that people. Today, as we stand just 17 days away from Christmas, let us remind ourselves what this season, what this feast provides. I hope it provides a peace and a comfort and a nostalgia. But if that's all it is, we might remain a bit twisted or be twisted by Christmas, financially and in many other ways. But if we consider what Christmas is, God with us, we have this marvelous invitation to be with him. And if we can do that with curiosity and openness, seeking him and wanting him, we will have heeded the Baptist's call. And we will know a little more of what it means to be Christian, to be men and women who are with God.